we move up to meet. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we see where Peter instructed that we were, the Jews, that they were in us, are to desire milk. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Then Paul said to the Hebrews, we assume it's Paul, in chapter 5 through verse 11 through the first verse of chapter 6, that we progress to meet. And in this writing, he was rebuking them because they had not grown, and they still needed milk. But he told them what they needed. The ending, the ending of the 11th verse, he says, these things are hard to explain to you because you have become dull of hearing. They weren't receptive. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have not come to, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, etc. So, he's telling them, if you're still a baby in doctrine and learning, then you can only exist on milk. You need to grow up. And how do we define those who are able to eat meat? Look at the last part of verse 14. Their senses are exercised to discern both good and evil. I'll mention that later on. And then the last passage is in 2 Peter 3 and 18. It's just a very simple, short command where Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow in many things, but grow in grace and knowledge, as he says here. It's not an option. And if we, we've heard it said many times, and it's true, that if we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. If we're not growing, we're dying. There really is no neutral gear, you might say. Okay, so with those passages in mind, I have it's not my questions. It's the questions that was laid out in the outline. But the ones I'm dealing with is measuring spiritual growth as an individual Christian. What does a spiritually mature Christian look like? Is spiritual growth comfortable? And how do we encourage spiritual growth in others? So there's just four topics there. There's many more, but those are the four we're going to look at this morning. And I'll throw out just a physical example on most of these. On the first one, measuring spiritual growth as an individual, or in other words, as each of us examines ourselves. Okay, we're not looking at the church as a whole. I'm looking at me. And as fit in your physical life, as a child, did you have a wall or a place in your house where, as you were growing, you stood up against the wall and your parents marked that place on the wall and wrote the date or however old you were at that time? And then you got older, it went on up, right?
I was on the chicken house.
Yours is on the chicken house, yeah. I'm sure most all of us can, that's a measurement, isn't it, as time goes by. Do we measure our spiritual life? Well, in the church, there's a lot of criteria on which how we can measure ourselves. As we're in our physical bodies, we get taller, we get wider, we get more intelligent, hopefully, and, we get a lot of changes. In our spiritual life, there's several criteria that I thought we might want to look at. And if you have a thought on this, on these, or if you have a scripture, feel free to bring it out. Number one, do you understand passages in the Bible that you once did not understand? Hopefully so. I mean, I think that is a continuing process. It should be. Because as we learn, as we understand more, that's what God wants us to do. That's a progression God wants us to take place in our life. And that will, if we are truly growing, we'll be learning. We'll still be learning when we die. We'll still be becoming wiser. Do you understand some reasons why God will not tolerate sin? Have you ever thought about that very much? We might just think, you know, it's easy to think, well, sin is bad and therefore it's wrong, which is true, but why? What are consequences of sin? I guess that's a better way of putting that. Do we understand more of the consequences of sin, and consequently, we want to stay away from that? Do you feel the urgency to teach your family and others the way of truth that leads to salvation? Urgency is the word I'm looking at. Do you feel that desire, that need to do that, rather than take a laissez-faire approach? Everybody know what laissez-faire is? It's the sit back and let somebody else do it, basically, method. Some of you probably understand it more than I do. But I thought that was a way that we measure our growth. Am I producing fruit, such as family members or others who have obeyed the gospel and now practice Christianity? The Christian life is obviously about keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but that's just a part of it. We are to spread it to others and be an influence on others. You know, what does the word gospel mean?
Good news.
Mm-hmm. Good news. Are we spreading the good news? Are we teaching it to others? Are we eager to meet with the brethren to worship God, understanding that worship is not a social hour? Okay, and now people may say, well, we're supposed to fellowship. Very true. But those really are two different things. When we worship God, I suppose we could say that we are having fellowship one with another. But what I'm looking at here is, do we come together to worship, or do we come together to network about our daily lives? For many people in the religious world, the gathering together for a social or for a religious hour is really a social hour. What'd you do this week? What are you going to do next week? You know, how's that going? You know, the main drive is not to be here to remember the Lord's death and to worship God with some people, but rather just to network. Do I have a real interest in serving God because I want to and not because I feel that I have to? This might be addressed more to younger people, because obviously at a younger age, we don't have choice on whether we're in church service or not. If our parents have raised us correctly and they're members of the church, then we're here with them, whether we want to be or not. But there comes a time when we grow up and we have to make that decision on our own. You know, there's many, I think most of us are acquainted with the Amish way of life to some extent. But what I'm getting at is, when the children are 16, 17, 18, I don't know the exact age, but I think there's pretty much an age, that they're allowed to leave the home. They're allowed to go out in the world. We all know what a protected life they live, right? And they're allowed to just to go and make the decision on whether or not they will return to that way of life or whether or not they will live the way other people live. Well, hopefully we have, as we raise our children, we don't ever do anything like that. Say, okay, see you later, go on out there and, you know, see if you want to serve Satan or see if you want to serve God. Ultimately, that choice is ours, but as parents, hopefully we certainly don't do that. But the thought is, do I have, as an individual, do I have the real interest of serving God because I want to? And I have one more question on this subject of measuring our spiritual growth is, what do I spend most of my time and money on? What really determines what you really care about? Isn't it what we spend our money on, what we spend our time on? If we are growing, we are maturing. So that was the other part of our class this morning, growth and maturity. So if we are growing in the grace and knowledge, as Peter commanded, we are maturing. Okay, I've been doing all the talking, and I don't want to. Any thoughts on how we measure our growth as an individual? I know there's more ways.
Well, you said bearing fruit. I think that's definitely one of the best ways. And a good thing to do is look at the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit...
We're going to get to that. But go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
The fruit of the Spirit all have physical actions that go along with it. Mm-hmm. The fruit that they produce is obvious. And is that fruit in your life? Are you practicing growing in those things? And that is a very simple, but a very good way to evaluate how much fruit you're producing.
All right, thank you.
And, you know, going along with that, Mike, as we discussed in our meeting last Sunday, the elders are putting together a spiritual evaluation worksheet for everybody, for all of our members to go out. And so that'll be in the over.
All right.
You have some good questions there.
Yeah, there's many more, obviously. But
yeah.
We like to measure ourselves against something. When we start thinking about growth, like you said, like the chart, we just have to be careful and not measure ourselves against standards, not really a standard like others, or even sometimes others mature. That's fine, but we should measure ourselves against Christ and check ourselves.
I'm planning on giving a talk on that. I hope you're not.
No.
Okay. Jason?
Paul said in Philippians 3:8 that he counted everything, all things, where all in there is not half things, some things, quarter of things. He counted all things as nothing, as right. Lost, except for the excellency or the pursuit of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Right.
What that means is that every single day, everything else, quite frankly, does not matter if we are not striving after knowing Jesus better by being perfectly, quote unquote, perfectly in tune with His Word.
Right. He was continually looking to grow and learn, wasn't he? All right, let's move on. What does a spiritually mature Christian look like? Well, as physical adults, we're grown and we're bigger than our children. Until they get grown, and then they might be bigger than us, but when they're still children, we're bigger. We know more. We've learned and experienced more because they just haven't been around that long yet. We provide for and lead our families. We can successfully handle critical situations by making the right decision. Okay? Those are things. That comes only by experience, and what was it, Will Rogers or somebody said about experience? Only way to get good experience is by having a bad experience or something like that. So, in our spiritual life, a spiritually mature individual has reached a level of knowledge and wisdom of God's Word where he or she can understand the will of the Lord and puts it into action. Would somebody turn to Ephesians 5 and read verses 15 through 17? I'm going to read what I just said again. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. A spiritually mature individual has reached a level of knowledge and wisdom of God's Word where he can understand the will of the Lord and puts it into action.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is desperation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking, you said 19?
17. Yeah, that word's dissipation, but desperation would probably apply too. Knowledge is gained through observation. You know, I thought about this. I went around and around trying to define this. It kind of goes along with what Tad was talking about maybe a couple of weeks ago about knowledge and wisdom. We gain knowledge through observation, study, and experience. In other words, we gain it by watching, we gain it by studying, and we gain it by doing. Okay? Maturity, though, is having the wisdom to correctly use our knowledge. There's a lot of highly intelligent people in the world that have sent men to the moon, have sent a satellite to Mars, have done all kinds of things that I have no idea how to do. But how mature are they? How wise are they? They're intelligent. They got a lot of knowledge. But, you know, as we always say, can they change a flat tire? You know, probably not. I thought about when Tad made the statement when he was talking about wisdom the other day about acceleration of wisdom. Is there a way to speed up how we can become wise? Well, there is, and he mentioned these. I'll just mention them again: through study, prayer, and experience. God will give us wisdom if we desire it and work for it. Is he going to just open it up, pour it into our mind? No. How do we get it? By studying. But he will give us answers, and by experience. We know some people grow up quicker than others do, right? And, you know, the thought that came to my mind is when you have a 17 or 18-year-old man, boy, sent off to war, he doesn't come back a boy, does he? He grows up really fast, or he dies, and maybe both. But, and it's true for women too, in other ways. When you're thrown into situations that you're not ready to handle, maybe your father or your mother passed away when you're very young, and you have to take on the role of a parent, you grow up quicker. Sadly, some people never really grow up at all. So what are some of the what are some of the things that a mature individual does? Somebody please turn to Ephesians 4 and read 13 through 14 before we go into that. Yeah, it didn't sound right. No, I wanted 13. Let me just read here. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plot. Okay? Paul is telling the Ephesians here again at this point, grow up. Don't be children anymore. don't have your mind changed every single day by the last person that you have talked to, and listen to their opinion. And this kind of goes back to the standards thing. What does the standard say? This is the standard right here. What does it say that I should believe and how I should grow? So we don't allow the world to influence our decisions regarding the church, such as doctrine or worship. We look for ways to be of service in the church without asking. Or in other words, being a volunteer. Okay? If we look for things to do and do them, and we don't look for praise from them, that's what God's looking for. We're volunteering. We're not waiting to be served. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, church service just doesn't do anything for me? I got a really good answer for that. What have you done for church service? What have you done? Have you had input? If you have had input, then you've got something out of it. You've grown. If you have no input, you very well may not grow. Jason?
Jesus himself was the one who said that the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many.
That really astonished his disciples when he started washing their feet at the Last Supper. Right? But it was his way of showing them service. Okay, let's move on.
Mike,
yes?
Sort of related to your original question there, I thought about 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. You know, often think 1 Corinthians 13 is just about love, but there's other things in that passage, in that chapter too. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there seems to be some transition there that one way that you know you're mature, or one way that you can mature, is by changing how you speak, changing how you understand, changing how you think. Those are things that you should transition from childish things to, to mature things.
Yeah, it's a good passage. All right. Here's another thing, another way that we can see what a spiritually mature Christian looks like. Studies the Bible at home. Is the only place we study the Bible in this building? If it is, we're not going to grow very much at all. Do we only eat food once a week, twice a week? That's what we'd be doing spiritually. A spiritually mature Christian disciplines himself first, then others, then those that he or she is set over. When I'm talking about discipline, I'm not in this way. I'm not talking about rebuke. I'm talking about the self-discipline of, as Paul said, I buffet my body daily. In other words, I keep things, I correct and keep myself in line all the time. And that is just, that's like a self-guidance type thing. I keep myself within the parameters. Because if I don't, and I'm living out of control, and I try to give someone else instruction, how do they look at me? Do you get respect from that person? No way. And you don't deserve it. One of the things drilled into, it was drilled into me, I'm sure it was drilled into Paul, and probably a lot of other people that are in a very structured environment, is you only earn respect. You don't demand respect. You can say you have to respect me. You can say you have to obey me if you're over that person. But are they going to want to obey you? That's respect. And why do you get respect? Because you've earned it. Because you yourself are disciplined.
Mike, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about Joseph. And he was in prison. And then, like the prison people, respected him to the point that sometimes they, you know, kind of gave him more rein to take care of things. And I think we have some other examples of that.
Well, even Pharaoh respected him greatly, so much that he was second in the kingdom, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Here he was, an outsider. Okay, we got to move on here. A mature Christian shows his love of the brethren through service to them. Kind of goes along with that. And I got two passages here we're not going to read because of the length. But if you want to know what a mature Christian man and a mature Christian woman look like, well, first of all, they look nothing like the society that we live in today. Nothing at all. But if you want to know what they look like, read Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, and Titus 2, 1 through 8. These passages are not very popular with some churches of Christ, or many religious organizations. But if we leave any of those out, we're telling God, I know more than you, God. I know better than you, God. This is 2022. And things have changed. Well, things have changed, all right, but not the way God desires us to live. But these passages give God's description of younger Christian men and women and older Christian men and women and their duties. Okay. Is spiritual growth comfortable? What do you think about that? Is spiritual growth comfortable? Should it be? Yeah. Is it comfortable when you have a baby in the house to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning? We got two parents here. Is that comfortable? No. But you're growing and you're learning, aren't you, as parents? Your baby is growing and needs you to do that. When you see men and women that are all bulked up from working out, lifting weights or whatever, How do the muscles in our body grow?
Tear them down.
You tear it down, and when it grows back, it builds over that. It increases. Of course, you have to have the right food also. But it's exercise, like we read in the passage earlier in Hebrews. You have your senses exercised to do good, and then you can eat meat or strong meat. Hebrews 5 and 14. Somebody turn to that, please, and just read that right quick. Excuse me. Hebrews 5, 14.
But solid food belongs to those who are of old age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern what
is
good.
I'm sorry. We had already read that at the beginning, but that's the one I made reference to. Okay. So when we talk about growing spiritually, we have this phrase that's used a lot, and it's tossed around, not necessarily in the religious sense, but we use this phrase of our comfort zone, okay? And some people are really concerned about their comfort zone. I'm not going to do anything that I'm not comfortable with, because I don't want to, I guess. I'm not really sure what all the reasoning might be. Do we see that teaching anywhere in the Bible? No, we don't. I do read in Acts 14, verses 21 through 22, that Paul said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. The Christian life is work. It's hard work. Let's look at the life of Jesus. Did he have a very easy life? No, not at all. And compared to our lives, the things that he did, and I was talking to someone, maybe it was Jason the other day, I'm not sure, but we talked about how Jesus probably physically was a really rugged person, a really rugged man. And you may not think of him like that, but, you know, which of us has walked 20 miles today? Jesus walked everywhere he went. He ate whatever food was supplied to him. You know, scriptures talk about him not having a place to lay his head. I'm sure many, many nights, Jesus probably slept out in the open. So, was that comfortable for him? I highly doubt it. Okay, but we do receive a lot of comfort in being a Christian, don't we? A great deal, and we don't really have time to go into all that, but Galatians 5 and 22. We receive joy and peace from the fruit of the fruits of the Spirit, as Malachi brought forth earlier.
Mainly inner comfort, comfort with inside.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much physical comfort.
Right, comfort right. Inside. But as we grow, okay, as we grow and we're asked to, or we volunteer to do things for the church, whether it's public or whether it's private, whether it's visitation, whether it's a good deed for our neighbor. You know, it may not be comfortable for us to leave our house early in the morning to take breakfast or in the evening to take dinner to a sick brother or sister. But, you know, if that's out of my comfort zone. But am I growing if I do that? Yes, I am. And the other person is encouraged and made stronger also. We also know the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us, but it's really two different things there. I guess what in the short, what I'm trying to say is, if you want to grow, get out of your comfort zone. And as we grow, then we do become more comfortable doing the things that weren't comfortable first. Does that make sense? You know, the first time I tried to stand before the church and speak, it wasn't comfortable at all. I was nervous as a cat, and I didn't do very good. I can remember giving a 5-minute sermon at Hartshorne, Missouri, and I still have it on a little half-sheet piece of paper. You know, I saved it as a reminder because I was so embarrassed that I felt I did a horrible job. You know, and I apologized to the congregation. And, of course, they didn't look at it the way I looked at it at all, you know. They thought it was a success because I was able to get up and do that. And so, no, that was not my comfort zone, but I grew. And I think many of you relate to the same thing. Whether you're men or women, it's the same. All right, we got one more question here in just a few minutes. How do we encourage spiritual growth in others? This is a little repetitive, but first, we have to be the correct example, don't we? By example, but it has to be the correct example, or no one will listen to anything we have to say. We have no credibility whatsoever if I ask you to do something and I'm not doing it. Or if I go to you and say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that, but I do it, got no credibility. And we know that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 to imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So as we said before, this is the standard, and we do need to be very careful. We shouldn't compare ourselves to ourselves, but as we see those who are maybe wiser and mature and older and living correctly, as they imitate Christ, it's good to imitate those people. Take the good traits that they have. No one is perfect, but imitate those who portray in their life what Christ and the apostles were. So how do we become good examples? Well, let's look at 2 Peter, first chapter. Verses 5 through 8. This is what Malachi brought out before. This is the listing of the fruits of the Spirit. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. And what reason was that? Well, they have escaped the world. They have escaped the corruption of the world. And so now, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a pattern there of growing. And we have, you know, there's been many classes or sermons on these passages, and I think we've probably all heard them and discussed them. But we are, even though we may not be completely grown in all of these, are we growing? Are we becoming mature? You know, there's different levels. A child has to grow out of their clothes before they get bigger clothes, right? And as we grow in our spiritual life, we are to take on more responsibilities and be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read earlier. And so if our spiritual growth ends, we begin to die. And as I mentioned before, none of us will ever learn all that God has for us to learn. Okay, so we don't have to worry about, well, I better slow down, or I'm going to learn everything in the Bible, and then what will I do? We don't have to worry about that, do we? Maybe when we make it to heaven, I'm sure that there will be so many questions answered that we wonder about now. You know, specifically a lot of things maybe about creation or what the earth looked like, how things developed. There's a lot of questions there. But as long as we strive to grow and mature in our spiritual lives, we'll make it, and those questions will be answered. Any comments before we close? Questions?
One of the things I was thinking about when you first started, you talked about, well, a good parent will just bring their kids to church, and that's true. And the $54,000 question is, how do you get them to love the church like you love the church? And I think you hit on it. The only thing you can do is be the best example of being like Christ, if you can, and then if they choose, like the prodigal son, he decided he wanted to choose the world. Mm-hmm. But it didn't take him too long to figure out there was something a lot better than what the world was. And sometimes people have to learn the hard way, but hopefully our children will be right there.
All right, we'll close. Thank you for your comments.